Zoom in on global affairs with insightful debates and exclusive interviews. This is World Insight.
Hello and welcome to World Insight. I'm Tian Wei. According to latest media reports, Middle East tensions worsened when three explosions were heard northeast of Iran's central Isfahan province on Friday. This as Israel is under pressure to think twice before striking back at Iran over Saturday's missile and drone attack. The ongoing situation is an apparent spillover of the ongoing six-month-old Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Many fear the Middle East is now sitting on a powder keg on the slippery slope of a wider conflict. So what can put the situation from the brink, and what will it take to broker a ceasefire? Let's turn to our panelists. In Tehran, I'm joined by Professor Mohammad Mirandi, professor from Tehran University. In Beijing, Einar Tangen, senior fellow from Taihe Institute and current affairs commentator. In Beijing, Wang Jin, an associate professor with Northwest University of China. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. First of all, Professor Mirandi, I want to know the latest from where you are. You are based in Tehran right now. Tell us about anything related to the latest news reports. Iran being hit by Israel's attacks. What is the latest situation?
So far, it seems as if there was no attack. There are reports that there were three quadcopters in Isfahan that were downed, but there's no sound of explosion. So when they were down, perhaps they didn't explode. And it's not clear where they came from. The rest is rumored by an international journalist, but so far there's no information about anything significant.
According to the Iranian state media, Iran has used the air defense batteries to hit a suspicious object, according to a senior military commander. That is coming from Al Jazeera's reporting online. Meanwhile, the U.S. side, ABC News, for example, reported that Israel had launched a missile attack against a site in Iran, also citing a U.S. senior official without revealing the name. And there is no word yet from either side, Iran and Israel, about the so-called attacks. So now, Professor Mirandi, what is it like when people are hearing at least the news that there were attacks?
A lot of people haven't heard yet because they are still asleep on weekends. We often wake up late, unlike other days. But yes. Those who have woken up, they've been asking each other or contacting friends in different cities. Like myself, I was contacting friends and colleagues in Isfahan, and they said they hadn't heard any sound or explosion. And as it is everywhere else in the world, people are all online. So wherever we look on every channel or Telegram channel or elsewhere, we don't see any sign of any explosion or any problem. It was just an explosion on the internet that we saw, but nothing so far on the ground.
I see. About the earlier attack Iran had toward Israel, many media reports have been suggesting about the very detailed planning and also the types of retaliation Iran did against Israel. Professor Mirandi, as a current affairs opinion leader, how do you see what exactly happened?
It was a very carefully calculated plan. They didn't want to overdo it so that the West would accuse Iran of aggression, even though ultimately the West did, and they never condemned the Israelis for the bombing of the embassy. But what Iran did was that it fired 200 very old drones, very cheap, in order for the Israelis and the Americans to use their advanced technology to bring them down, so that they could understand their defense capabilities, their radar capabilities, but also they wanted to inflict heavy costs. The Israelis spent $1.35 billion, and I think the Iranians probably spent $2 million on the drones. Then the Iranians fired some older missiles too, again, decoys, but also to gather information without revealing anything. And simultaneously with those, there were a handful of missiles. I don't know the exact number, I've heard between 10 and 20 that were directed at two targets, to an airbase in the south, which is used to bomb Gaza and was also used to bomb the embassy, and a military intelligence gathering base in the north. Those missiles hit the bases. And those are very well protected bases. So the Iranians, the missiles, the more advanced missiles that they use, though not the most advanced that Iran has, they got through. But all the old drones and all the old missiles, they were basically to draw fire to themselves, to gather intelligence, and to inflict heavy loss, because there's a huge shortage right now because of Ukraine of surface-to-air missiles.
How do you see, Professor Mirandi, the reactions, or not much reactions, coming from different sides, important stakeholders, after Iran counterattacked?
I think the question here is whether Netanyahu gets his way. The feeling is that Netanyahu, when he bombed the embassy, he either didn't expect a response and he wanted to present this as some sort of victory because of the military failure in Gaza and the military failure on the Lebanese border. Then again, some believe that he did it in order for Iran to respond so that he can escalate. And of course, the Americans don't want escalation. They've been sending messages to Iran. There have been messages going back and forth from Tehran to Washington. The Americans are keen on this not expanding. So we have to see ultimately if the United States gets its way, or if Netanyahu gets his way, if indeed his objective is to escalate.
And today, of course, another big piece of news is the state of Palestine. When the voting was going on inside the United Nations, the U.S. voted no. From Iran, your reaction to that?
Well, in Iran, the argument, the logic from the very beginning is that the main problem is the United States. The United States has always prevented the Palestinian people from benefiting from any negotiations. They've now prevented them from becoming a member of the UN. So as long as the United States supports the Israeli regime, no matter what it does, the region is going to be in danger of explosion and greater conflict.
Now, I think the Chinese ambassador to the United Nations have suggested it is a very sad day when the U.S. voted against the state of Palestine, their membership of the United Nations. Having said that, though, let me move on to a discussion among the three of you. And by the way, we are going to hear more Israeli voices in future programs of discussion. Let's have Mr. Wang Jin and Mr. Tangen to come in. Mr. Wang, your assessment of the latest situation as a longtime observer.
I think the latest situation in the Middle East now is actually in the possible process of escalation, because we witnessed last week that Iran's counterattack, retaliation attack against Israel by large waves of missiles and drones, just as Professor Mirandi stressed. And then we witnessed that, reportedly witnessed that Israeli counterattack. The problem is that not just the problem here, not just the attack or the counterattack. The problem here is that there were no very reliable communication channel between the two states. Because on the one hand, the two states do not have the very diplomatic relations with each other, so they cannot connect with each other directly. And then on the other hand, they try to show or try to define the very reliable interaction model by this kind of exchange of fire. So that is why I think why international intervention and mediation are very urgently needed right now.
Mr. Tangen.
Israel wanted to have a kinetic response to what they started. They've done so. There's been no damage. Therefore, if Iran retaliates, which probably will do, it will be in some similar way where there are no casualties. And that hopefully will put a little pressure to de-escalate and get away from a regional conflict. Joe Biden is not interested in having a regional conflict like this explode as he is seeking to be president of the United States for the second time.
So now we have several timetable going on. One is the Israeli politics. The other is the U.S. Presidential election. And also, of course, we also see different momentums going on in the Middle East. And of course, the Israeli and Palestinian conflict. So how do you see with these three things all going on at the same time in the backdrop, the latest Iranian-Israeli possible conflict?
I think all of these three, or maybe more, Actually, all of them are themselves are very in status of very uncertainty. Because if when we are talking about Israeli politics, who knows when Benjamin Netanyahu will get out of the power? Maybe tomorrow, maybe later. When we are talking about the United States presidential election, maybe the future president or maybe the next term for Joe Biden himself will change his strategy in the Middle East. And when we are talking about the relations between Israel and Iran, what we are looking at is that the exchange of fire and maybe more retaliation and the strikes by both sides against each other. So what I mean here is that all of them, or maybe more factors, just as you mentioned, are actually full of uncertainties. And these uncertainties combined together lead to more dangerous regional situation. Although we hope that the region could go back to stability, but that is why I think more uncertainties, more crises will combine together.
Now, of course, Iran has been having different kinds of relations in nature with its neighboring countries as well. Meanwhile, there are differences among the Arab communities. So how do you see, Professor Morandi, Iran can articulate it and assess its current position well out of a lot of uncertainties that you all touched on?
Actually, since the rapprochement between Iran and Saudi Arabia, which was assisted through the good offices of the Chinese government, tensions in the region have, on the whole, declined, and there have been moves towards greater rapprochement elsewhere as well, between Syria and the Emirates and so on. So if we take Israel out of the equation, the region is moving closer to normality. The Iranians, of course, don't recognize the regime. They see it as similar to apartheid South Africa, and where it has to change in nature for it to be recognized. Well, Iran has always supported the Palestinian resistance groups. From the beginning, after the revolution, there were two foreign policy issues where the Iranians were very adamant that they should be supporting. One was in South Africa, the other was in Palestine.
Now let's go to Professor Wang with us. Can you, from China's perspective, help us to understand the latest apparent escalation of tensions in the Middle East? How is China articulating the current realities?
Trend of tension in the Middle East could be resulted from the ongoing war in Gaza. Because when we're talking about the ongoing war in Gaza, we're not only talking about the conflict between Israelis and Hamas, we're also talking about the Israelis, their blockade against the Gaza Strip and their wars that lead to the hundreds of thousands of deaths, the Palestinian civilians in the Gaza Strip. That is a very tragedy and gets the attention from all over the world. Then this round of the conflict is still ongoing, and it has already spilled over the other parts of the region, for example, in the Red Sea, into the Iraq, into Syria, into Lebanon, and also further into the worsening relations between Israel and other countries, especially Iran. So we really wanted to say that, okay, now on the one hand, China called for the rational and restrained actions of both Israel and Iran from further provocating of each other. And on the other hand, China firmly stand with the Palestinians and called for the the just and the legal rights of the Palestinian people's rights in the Middle East, especially in recognizing their United Nations membership. So that is why I think China's stances are clear and also very just, and has already appreciated and also welcomed by the regional country as well as the majority states in this world.
Okay. And Mr. Changan, the U.S., since you are originally coming from there, I'm sure you can help us better in understanding the mentalities and the logic that the current administration is handling this issue. There's not only elections, but also how to work with the Jewish community inside the country, and the list goes on. Meanwhile, Middle East has always been a strategic place for the United States, even though its strategic significance has been receding rather than increasing earlier years. So tell us more about what logic do you see Washington is now articulating in the latest situation?
Well, as I was going to say, it's a mixture of ideology within Washington and also the politics. This is an election year. President Biden has shown consistently that he's more interested in getting back in power and keeping his job, which he's done for 50 years. In the Middle East, it means that the U.S. will continue to supply bombs and bullets to Israel, which are being used to kill innocents. You have to go back to the basis. This Iranian situation and the retaliation is not something that is happening in vacuum. What you have is they are reacting to the bloodshed, the genocide that is happening in Gaza. So if the U.S. wants to stop this, they need to cut off the bombs and bullets, at which point Israel will be forced to come to the table. The U.S. has said that it wants a two-state solution, but instead of recognizing Palestine as a state, it has vetoed it. So the U.S. is not able to follow through on a straight line. It says one thing, does another, and the only explanation is politics.
All right. Besides that, how do you see the degree of pressure that Washington has exerted on Israel, for example?
I think behind closed doors, they're not very happy with Israel. And I think this latest situation is a result of that. Israel has American support. It has all of our eyes and ears that are all over the Middle East. We are constantly monitoring.
So now, if the clash between Iran and Israel continues, Professor Mirendi, is there anyone that can benefit from this?
Well, the region and the globe will all be harmed because a large amount of the energy used across the world comes from the Persian Gulf and the surrounding region, both oil and natural gas, as well as petrochemicals and other necessary products. So the global economy is at risk if there is escalation. And from the beginning, if the United States does not yank on the leash of the Israelis, then ultimately this will lead to escalation, because Gaza is a dead end for the Israelis. Lebanon is a dead end. Now Netanyahu is looking for a path to escape defeat. And that means escalation. And when you have conflict, there's always things that can happen that are unpredictable. And if, let's say, the Israelis strike a place and something unexpected happens, or some children are killed or something like that, then that could change the calculations. And then the response would be much heavier and things could spiral out of control. So the Americans are playing a very dangerous game, as your guest rightly pointed out. The United States both sees itself both as an exceptionalist state. On the other hand, it sees itself, the state at least, bound to the Israeli regime, and therefore it is unwilling to exert control or pressure on the regime to pull it back. And if it continues to refrain from doing so, then we could get into a very dangerous situation.
Professor Wang, looking at the complicated situation, China has been calling on all parties to exercise constraint, but also support the Palestinians for their cause, particularly in the UN General Assembly and also Security Council. You heard that the Chinese Ambassador Fu Cong said very clearly after the U.S. Voted against the full membership of Palestine in the United Nations. So how do you see China will be able to play its role to work with parties to de-escalate the tension? What do you see are some of the things that China can do, steps that China can take as an important stakeholder in the international governance?
Yes, I think China has already done a lot, and we'll continue to doing our best to help, as you mentioned, de-escalate the tension in this region. Because on the one hand, China on many occasions, especially in the United Nations Security Council and other international mechanisms, to call for the help of the restraint and the call for the rational actions. Not only in the United Nations, but also, for example, from the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and also some other mechanisms such as BRICS. China will continue to do our best to help enhance the consensus, the international consensus on how the situation should be framed. And on the other hand, China has already could continue to work as a very bridge. For example, we know that when the crisis is going on between Israelis and Palestinians, and also with Iranians, China Foreign Minister Wang Yi had a phone call with Saudi and Iranian foreign minister to discuss the situation. China could be the bridge. Very, very reliable bridge for the connecting the different parties, because we know, as just we mentioned, Israel and Iran, they do not have the diplomatic relations. Iran and the United States, they do not have diplomatic relations. That means that China and other regional countries, together with the international community, to help do something to melt down the very possible mistrust and misunderstandings between each other. That could be a very, very important factor that for bringing peace and stability back to the region.
Mm. Mr. Tangen, your thoughts also on China's role?
China is willing to create the table, but in order to have consensus, it has to be the solutions have to come from the parties involved. And that means that Israel has to be at that table, so does Palestine, and so do the major regional players. Remember, Gaza has been bombed flat, in essence. It is no longer habitable. They look like they're going to finish the job. So what happens after that? No one has been willing to talk about it, nor have they been willing to talk about the fact that Israel has between 100 and 150 nuclear weapons. And this is an estimate on the U.S. side. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you're dealing with a volatile situation, which is running out of control. You have political considerations rather than geopolitical considerations being bandied about in Washington. China is doing its best to try to bring people to the table, but they are not going to weaponize their trade relations with any country. China has primary trade relations with 120 countries. What you see is the Europeans and Americans both saying you need to weaponize those as we have done. And that is the wrong course.
Well, final words before we go. Professor Morandi, I hope you are going to have a very peaceful weekend in Iran.
Yeah, hopefully we will not see an escalation by the Israeli regime. But if they do carry out another attack against Iran, the Iranians feel that they have no option but to retaliate, because that's the only thing that will stop them. No one else is holding them back. And unless the Americans and the Europeans come to the recognition that the Palestinian people have rights as human beings, the problem is not going to go away, and it's only going to get worse.
Mr. Tangen.
Let's hope that there is some rationality which is going to be injected into this process. The idea that you can kill innocent civilians, women, and children as a way path to peace is nonsensical. It goes against everything that the world is supposed to be trying to achieve. So, yes, yeah. Let us hope that there can be talks instead of conflict.
Mr. Wang.
As there will be a lot of uncertainties and the crisis in the future, especially in the next few days. But I think China will continue to work together closely with the international community to help pacify the tension, and will hope to continue to play a very important, active, and constructive role in the future for bringing back the peace and stability to this region.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us. All the best and peace to all of us. And that's all the time we have for today. If you'd like to know more, search World Insight. Check out our YouTube channel. Follow us on X and Facebook. I'm Tian Wei. On behalf of the team, thanks for being with us. Bye for now.